about Noah's Ark. And I'm just going to read Genesis chapter 6, verses 13 through 16 again. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make in the ark, to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and set the door of the ark, and the door of the ark, shalt thou set in the side thereof. With lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. The instructions to Noah about the ark. Now, as I said 2 weeks ago, I talked about God. The ark of God was, the ark of Noah was God's idea. It wasn't Noah's idea. Noah didn't know he had any idea. Noah had no idea he was going to need an ark. But he did. And God knew it. It was his idea. Completely. Also, that this ark was for Noah. God didn't need it. It was specific. Exactly. This ark wasn't going to make God any holier, any more gracious, or any more merciful. This ark was going to save Noah and his family. It wasn't for God, it was for Noah. And God exclusively planned this ark. He didn't ask Noah for any suggestions. There was no updating of the blueprints. It was God's idea, it was God's plan, and it was for Noah. Now, Wednesday, after I preached this first part on Sunday, I got an email. The providence of God is amazing sometimes. Man builds Noah's Ark, exact scale given in the Bible. I have pictures. Working replica of Noah's Ark opened in Schagen, Netherlands. Now, he messed up. He put it next to a river. Okay? He should have built it out in a field. Okay?
That's what Noah did.
That's the way Noah did it. Don't worry, the water will come to you. And he built it. He's got one big door on the side, and he made it a ramp like the toys, which might have been the way it was. I don't know. And it's got, now, it doesn't have real animals in it yet. But he's got a couple of plastic elephants, a big plastic giraffe whose head's sticking up to the second floor or third floor. The top's not done, but we're open for tourist season because this guy might need some money. I don't know. And then they say it's a big old boat. But now he did make the front of it rounded more like a ship. But I got the feeling that Noah's was pretty square.
Yeah.
Because God didn't say anything about curving around and narrow it at the prow. Now, there's enough space near the keel for a 50-seat film theater where kids can watch a video that tells the story of Noah and his ark. Hubers, it's the guy's name, a Christian man, said he hopes the project will renew interest in Christianity in the Netherlands, where church going has fallen dramatically in the last 50 years. It won't help. Okay? Noah had the real ark. Ain't none but 8 people got in it. Because I'm going to tell you something that they leave out of every Noah's Ark story you'll ever hear, see, or hear preached anywhere else other than a few people we know. Only 8 people were supposed to be in it. That's it. But what I want to get into today is the Ark of Noah was a place of safety. Noah was told how to build the ark. Noah was told what to build the ark out of. And Noah was told to pitch it within and without with pitch. And Ellen reminded me of it that the other day. The word pitch there is from the Hebrew word, the root word, atonement. That's significant, is what we call that. Atonement. Because without atonement, the boat's going to leak. And some things are going to get in that shouldn't get in. And maybe something to get out that's not supposed to get out. But it was pitched within and without, just like God told him to do. And he also told him to put some provisions in there. Now, you don't have any details. Now, maybe he gave Noah more details. We don't know, but what we have written here, it just says it was to be have provisions in there. And he was supposed to put animals in it. The ones God told him to put in. Two of every unclean beast, male and female, seven of every clean beast. Then Noah and his family were told, get in the ark. They got in the ark, and it says, God shut him in.
Yeah, exactly.
Shut them in.
Yep.
God shut the door. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in.
Yeah.
That's Genesis 7 and verse 16. Now, we already talked about it earlier. There's only one door. There's only one door. God shut up the ark. There was one way in. There was one way out. When God shut the door, there's no way in. And there was no way out. Don't get ahead. Got to pause for dramatic effect. Lord.
Sorry.
That's okay. I have to watch myself because I will get to talking too fast. And I have to think, okay, pause for a minute. Okay. Second, 2 seconds. But there was no way out. For better or worse, nope, just for better, Noah was in the ark and his family. It's for better. Noah was in the ark, and the rains came, and the fountains of the deep opened up. The world was flooded. Noah and his family were in the ark, dry. The world was drowned. Noah was in the ark, breathing the breath of life. The world died. Everything that had breath in its nostrils died. That's one of the things they leave out of that nice little Bible story. Everything that was in the world that had breath in its nostrils died. But Noah and his family were in the ark, alive. There was violence and chaos outside, but there was safety inside. There was death outside, a lot of death. But inside the ark was life. There were rooms in the ark. There were different floors in the ark. There were animals in the ark. And there was Noah and his family. In the ark. There were provisions for the sustenance of the family. In the ark. There was light from the window. In the ark. Now, you don't hear anything about them taking lanterns or anything like that. But I assume that they would take some as provisions. I don't know. But other than that, the only light that came out of that ark was from one window. At very top. That's where the light comes from. It comes down from heaven. And it comes within. And it does come within the ark. Provision was made for it. I'm assuming they had a place to sleep in this ark, because they were in it 40 days and 40 nights. And I can't stay up that long anymore. Never could. I did 3 days once when I was in the Army. Actually, I did it once a year in the Army. We were going through testing. After that 3 days, I normally crash for about a day and a half. When you're in it 40 days, 40 nights, you're going to be sleeping somewhere. There was a place to live in the ark for Noah and his family. This ark was safe. This ark was designed by the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the Lord. It was designed, it was planned, it withstood all the rains and the storms and the fountains of the deep being broken up, and whatever else was outside that ark could not get inside it. Noah didn't know what was going on outside. There's all kind of things that go around outside. We don't know. A lot of them I don't want to know. Sometimes CNN is too informative. As Earl used to say, he said, there was a time when you could keep the outside world away. Not so much anymore. Not out of your house. But Noah, being in the ark, didn't really know everything that was going on outside. But inside the ark, they were dry. They were breathing. They were eating. They were sleeping. And doing whatever they had to do for the animals. I remember years ago, Henry Mahan preached a sermon on this. And there's one thing in particular that stuck with me. I like what he said about this. I don't know if he thinks differently now. I do know some other people do. But it went something like this. He was talking about the three floors in the ark. Okay? The window's at the top, but you had the first, second, third. That's what you want to call it, from the top down. You have three floors in this ark. The top floor was closer to the window, so it probably got more light. Mm-hmm. You could see more what was going on. The second floor down, you got some light, but maybe not as much as the top floor. But you could see a little bit about what was going on. The third floor got the least amount of light as of all of them, but there's still light down there. That bottom floor didn't get as much light as the first or second floor, but it did have some light. But that part didn't matter, because even the bottom floor, all the way back in the back corner here, that ark, in that bottom corner, you're still in the ark. You're still in the ark. And he went on to say, basically, it didn't matter so much what you knew. Some people have more light than others. We've seen that. And I remember sitting in an Armenian church as a believer. Didn't know much. Just starting out. And I've said it here before, I thought preachers said stupid things all the time. But we had a fella, and he quoted a lot of scripture. And the scriptures that he quoted were always a blessing. And were always true, and were always right. What he said about them sometimes, that's where we kind of got into a disagreement. That kind of escalated into a full-fledged brush fire one day. But I remember sitting in there, and I didn't have much light, but I did have light. I was in the ark. And no matter what any preacher says, You can't take that away from him. Or anybody else. If you know Christ, you're in the ark.
Yeah.
How well you know Christ, I don't know. But if you know him, you're in the ark. Now, I do like, I swear, I don't want to get too cocky, but I think I'm moving up floors. Okay? When I met Earl Cochran, I come out of the back corner.
Yeah.
And that's the God's honest truth. Because we got more education, I think, Walter, in that first afternoon than we got the whole year we spent in the church we were in before. Because we'd never heard the word regeneration before, even though it had happened to us. But anyway, I did like that sermon. I hope Henry still believes it. But some places, the whole thing is every inch of that ark, every inch of that ark, safe. From the outside. Safe. Totally safe. Some places might be more comfortable. Some places might be warmer. Some places might be lighter. But none of them was any safer than any of the others. Not a one. You're in the ark. You're in the ark. You're good. Because in the ark that God planned and designed, there is security. Security. Inside the ark was life. Outside the ark was nothing but death. That sounds pretty simple. And actually, it was for Noah and his family. It was pretty simple. For everybody else, not so much. Noah and his family lived in the ark. Noah and his family lived. Because in the ark was life. This ark was literally the safest place in the world. At that time, it was the safest place in the world. Because the rest of the world was underwater. That was just in case you didn't get the joke. It was the safest place in the world. It's the truth. Now, the last thing I want to talk about, and it's something that just kind of come to me when I was thinking about this, so I wanted to save it for last on purpose. Because they always, you see these pictures, and it's like this one with this email, you know, you're giving it the bow of a ship, okay? It's not an ark. The ark is basically a box, okay? The only dimensions we have is this long, it's this wide, right. It's this tall.
Right.
You don't narrow to a point up near the front, coming up to a big wooden keel and put a, you know, half-naked woman on the front of it, like they used to do on the sailing ships of old. It's a box because this was done on purpose because Noah wasn't driving this boat. There was no way for Noah to drive or pilot the ark. Now, Noah might have stuff to do while he was in it. Okay? I understand about animals. I got a dog and a cat. Okay? I've never had to clean up anything bigger than that, and I don't really want to. But I've seen cows on farms, and those were clean animals. And there are seven of them, right? Male and female? That'd make a mess. So something's got to get moved around or at least moved somewhere else away from where I'm staying, if I can possibly avoid it. Noah might have had stuff to do in the ark, okay? But there wasn't a steering wheel.
Right.
There wasn't a rudder.
Right.
There wasn't a mast. There wasn't a sail. There wasn't anything. Mm-hmm. This thing was a box.
Mm-hmm.
And Noah was sealed inside. So if there were controls on the outside, he couldn't get to them anyway. But there weren't any. Noah had no control.
Right. Noah had no
control.
Right.
Noah had no controls.
Right.
I like this stuff. He had been shut in by the Lord and had absolutely, positively, absolutely, again, nothing to do with where that ark went. How it got there, how long it was going to take, he couldn't pick a shortcut. He couldn't steer with the wind.
Right.
He couldn't steer against the wind. He couldn't tack into it. Mm-hmm. He couldn't fire up the auxiliary motor. He was along for the ride.
Yeah.
Noah may have had, like I said, may have had work to do in the ark. I don't know what it was, for sure. But Noah and his family were in the ark in safety because the Lord knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. And that's something it's kind of hard to learn some days. Because I don't know what he's doing. If I'm lucky, sometimes I can see what he's done. Especially what's written in here. But I'm talking about in my life. Sometimes I can look back and I can see some things that have happened. That at the time, you know, it's one of them things, you know, all things work together for good, but it's not all good things. But after a bit of time, you can see what come of it. Because of one bad circumstance, I met Walter Pendleton. And really haven't regretted it. I mean to be honest about that.
Yeah.
I met Roy, Paul, David, Mason, all of you. Whereas if something had not happened, I might have been in a whole other county.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Still. Like I said, I don't know what he's doing, but sometimes if I'm lucky, if I'm blessed, I can figure out some of the things he's done and what come out of it. And it was for my good and for his glory. Sometimes I don't even see that, though. Sometimes I might learn the part of a reason I come from some place. Sometimes I don't, but, and this but's for me, not for him, I trust his promise to never leave me nor forsake me. I trust him. And that's what you come to after sometimes seeing where you've been and where God's put you now. I believe... like I think Noah believed, that I am one of us. One of us who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's what I'm looking for. The ark was going somewhere. Noah had nothing to do with it. But it was going to get there. And it did. Like I said, the ark of Noah is a picture of Christ. As a summary, the ark was God's idea. Christ as the perfect sacrifice for sin. Forever was God's idea.
Yeah.
He is, Jesus Christ is, the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. That's a good thing. Jesus Christ was not an afterthought, a patch, or a broken picture. Christ's coming was not an adjustment to the plan or an addition to the blueprints. His coming was the plan. His coming was the plan. He was coming to earth before there was earth. That's not new. Noah needed the ark to live. Christ didn't need the ark. God didn't need the ark. Noah needed the ark in order to be saved. Men need Christ in order to be saved. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then he got an ark. Every believer is a believer because he or she found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It's all of his grace. No believer earned it or merited it or had any good to recommend them. By grace are his people saved, and by grace Noah was saved. God planned the ark. The Godhead planned the salvation of his people, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all in one accord, because they are one, or they is one. I'm not sure how the English is on that. They are one. These three are one. These three agree in one. They purposed this plan of salvation. Man wasn't invited. Man wasn't present. A man wasn't even created. You know, if he's the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, the plan's already been made by the time the world got here, by the time man got here. So I don't think he asked us about it. Man had no place in the planning of the salvation that is in Jesus Christ. None. And this ark was a place of safety. For some. And this is a very important point. Because Christ is Savior. For some. Inside the ark is life. In Christ there is eternal life. In Christ. Outside the ark was death. Outside of Christ there is no life. That's death. No life is death. Outside of Christ is weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. In Christ there is love, joy, peace, mercy, grace, and all spiritual blessings. Inside the ark there was security. Nothing else could get in. Nothing else could get out. God shut the door after everybody was on board. And once all of Christ's people are inside, there might be another shutting of a door. But everything will be okay if you're in Christ. Everything will not be okay if you're not in Christ. There were a certain specific number of people to be saved in that ark. 8 people. And all 8 people were in that ark until the journey was over. There are a certain specific number of people in Christ. Amen. From before the foundation of the world. Walter's been talking about it. And I believe what Walter's been saying. Their names were written in the Lamb's book before the foundation of the world. these shall have eternal life. Every one of them. Every one of them shall make and complete their journey. They're in Christ. They're safe. They're secure. They're in Him. Because believers are safe in Christ. And that's why we can rest in Him. Noah, once in the ark, was a passenger. Because Christ is in control. And He controls everything, whether it's in the ark or it's not. And He does as He wills among all the inhabitants of heaven, all the inhabitants of the earth, and everything else. If there's anything left out of that. Because Jesus Christ is God. To the glory and honor of the Father. Jesus Christ is God. Our Heavenly Father, we are again thankful. Lord, we ask for Your blessings in this place. We ask that Walter would come and speak the words we need to hear. And that You would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand Your word, Your will in this way that we are on. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. But they are there. And Your word is our light in this world. And we thank You for it. In Christ's name we ask. Amen.